I want to welcome you to the Hero Maker podcast. I'm Dave Ferguson, and I serve as a lead pastor of Community Christian Church in Chicago, the lead visionary for New Thing, and also the president of the Exponential Conference. And this is the second in a series of six podcasts on the Exponential 2018 theme of Hero Maker and the book Hero Maker, Five Essential Practices for Multiplying Leaders That Multiply by myself and Warren Bird that will come out in February of 2018. For those of you who aren't familiar with the big idea of a hero maker, you can think of it this way. Everybody wants to be a hero, but few people understand the power of being a hero maker. Because a hero maker is someone who builds the platform and then lets someone else stand on it. They shine the spotlight on someone else who accomplishes the mission. And those are the best kind of hero makers. As one of my mentors said, hero makers understand that their fruit grow on other people's trees. And today, we're going to talk about the first essential practice of hero making, and that's leading as a multiplication thinker. And I have someone with me who loves to think about multiplying the movement of Jesus. His name's Sam Stevens. If you're not familiar with Sam, Sam's a third-generation leader of the India Gospel League, which was founded back in 1948 by his grandfather, who passed on this ministry to his father in 71, who then registered it as a society. Sam, I think, originally served as a barefoot pastor until his father's death in 1988, and then he assumed leadership of the India Gospel League, which now is a network of thousands of Christian workers, pastors, house parents, Bible study leaders, children's workers, leadership trainers, and really faithful laborers throughout South Asia. And Sam and his staff provide tremendous encouragement and oversight for the vision of the India Gospel League, and we're grateful to have him with us. Thanks for joining me, Sam.
Oh, good to be with you, Dave. It's a privilege. Thanks for asking me to join you.
Well, and Sam is coming to us actually from India, and I'll tell you what, so we can make the most of your time, I want you to talk a little bit about, we're talking about multiplication thinking, and I know that's a part of your story. So if you could first just tell us the story of how the India Gospel League became kind of what it is today.
Well, right from its very inception, church planting has been the DNA of the India Gospel League. And once you start talking about evangelism and church planting, you cannot leave out multiplication. Mm-hmm. So it's always been there right from the very inception. I took on the leadership, to make a long story short, I took on the leadership of the organization in 1988 after my father's passing away. The leadership was placed upon my shoulders. And over a two-year period, I learned a lot of lessons of what God was doing and how he was moving in different ways. And that has been very helpful in the kind of growth that we have seen. Currently, we're working with about 6,500 church planters, pastors, and close to 200,000 leaders. I'm talking about the youth and the women and the men, all involved in spiritual multiplication. And the exponential growth started happening after 1990, when we were able to make some shifts in the way we were doing things and able to see what God was doing.
I mean, we've got to spend a little bit of time together and got to know each other. And you strike me, and tell me if I'm right or wrong with this, but you strike me as someone who's never been afraid to kind of dream big. Is that right?
Yes. And it is something that, evolved in my life. I didn't start that way. I started as a very shy person, a very reserved person, and very traditional in my ways. But over a two-year period, I found that, God was moving in different ways, and that was the shift that really made that difference, that helped me to think big, to think God-sized thoughts, to think of how God was moving and to join him in his ways, and also to dream God-sized dreams and visions. It really started in 1992 when we started the Vision 2000 program, which was an aggressive church planting program, it's just taken off since then.
So, I mean, for the church planter or a church leader that's listening in here who maybe they relate to that kind of being a little more timid, a little more shy, not quite as grandiose. It sounds like what happened for you is you began to take a little bit of a risk on the vision and God would come through and it just kind of had a momentum about it. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I talked about the shift in thinking, and really the shift in thinking, initially when I started, my fear and my thoughts were about, sustaining an organization, sustaining what was being done in the past and so on. And so the Lord really helped me make a shift of my mindset from organization and empire building to really kingdom building. And impressed upon my heart that my call was not to build an organization, build an institution, build a traditional ministry, but really to build God's kingdom. And that really expanded the horizons of my thinking and my dreaming. The Exodus 33 was very important at that point of time, the prayer of Moses, where he prays that, Lord, these are your people. So the Lord really spoke to me at that time and said, this ministry is not yours, it's mine. Yeah. And to be able to release that dream and that vision and the whole ministry into God's hands and say, Lord, this is your ministry, you have chosen me, you have called me, made a huge difference in my life. And once that shift happened, it removed all the barriers that were restrictive, and it literally removed all the barriers and boundaries that would have limited my dream and my vision. If I was simply thinking of an organization, if I was simply thinking of an institution, it would have been so limited. But the Lord helped me to think of growing the kingdom in this nation. And that just lifted all of the barriers. And it also wiped out all the fear of failure. You know, if I was building an organization as a leader, I'm always fearful about what will people think of me? What will happen if I fail? But here, you know, this was God's ministry that he had entrusted, and it's the kingdom that I'm working for. It's God's work, and it's not a question of my success or my failure. And that gave me a great confidence. And once, you know, I had that confidence that God is doing his work through me, the pressure and burden to succeed is lifted from my shoulders. And that really allowed me to dream big, to envision great things. It gave me the courage to take risks. It gave me the confidence to step out in faith. And, you know, initially when I talked about planting 1,000 churches in 1992, you know, I was shaking in my knees. But then, you know, I said, Lord, this is what you want us to do. And then it started growing from 1,000 to 2,000 to 5,000 to 7,500. And by the year 2000, we were up to 20,000 churches. And then I knew that, you know, I wasn't thinking big enough, because this is God's work and God's dream. So I need to dream God-sized dreams.
I'll tell you what, and one of the things, if I can, to all of our listeners here, I hope you didn't miss what Sam said too. He quit focusing on himself, on his own leadership, on his own, in our situations, it might be our own church or our own organization, our own ministry. But again, it was like God's kingdom. Anything I could do to help expand and multiply the word of God's kingdom. And when he, and it seems like it may be minute or a very subtle distinction, but I think for church leaders, it's a really, really important distinction, because all of a sudden, then you begin to, I think, make yourself and your leadership available to whatever it is that God wants, and it allows you to really expand your influence. So thanks. So now, Sam, I mean, you're now, Indy Gospel League is now approaching close to 90,000 church plants in the last, 25 or 30 years. Think about from where you started to where you are now. What are some of the also, I mean, maybe I'm looking for some strategy and tactics or even practices that your leaders have used over and over again with success that we could pass along to some of our listeners?
Well, the number one underlying principle is that this is God's work and he has called us to do it. And when we release it to the Lord, I have, you know, written down here saying, you know, I would describe it as a divine audacity. You know, just to be able to dream big and to ask big, to expect big, and not limit ourselves to anything. So that's the way that we have seen this growth happen. But then, Dave, you said it yourself. You said, you know, it takes hard work. Number one, we need to be committed to work hard and to work smart as well. And of course, all of this is undergirded by prayer. First of all, we started a huge, huge prayer movement. A chain of prayer was started in 1991, and it still goes on to this day, where 24 hours, every single minute, we know that someone's praying for the dreams that we have, for the goals that we have set, for the strategy that we have, and for the plans that we have. So I'm not trying to spiritualize it, but we need to understand that prayer plays a very critical, a pivotal, and an important role in all of this. The second thing I would say is, you know, you said it again, it's the strategy as well as the tactical plans. You've got to have a strategy for growth. You've got to have a strategy for multiplication. When we started in India, it was a strange thing to talk about planning, to talk about goal setting, to talk about expecting something, because we were always taught, and our people were working with the mentality that our call is to simply sow the seed, and the Lord of Harvest is going to do all of His work. But then it was a whole shift that the Holy Spirit helped us to make, that, you know, when you plant a seed, you also expect a harvest. And then when you expect a harvest, you have to prepare for the harvest to save the seed and to plant the seed again. And so strategic planning as far as what we wanted to do was also very important. Praying specifically for multiplication, planning prayerfully for multiplication, preparing for multiplication, and as I said earlier, proactively building capacity to receive answer to prayer. So sometimes we pray not really believing that God is going to answer that prayer, but we've got to pray expecting that God is going to answer our prayer. So if the answer is going to come, what are you going to do when the answer is going to come? You've got to be prepared to receive that. So if we are asking for 5,000 churches, it means 100,000 believers. So we're not going to sit, you know, with 100,000 believers. We've got to plan for leadership to be able to disciple those 100,000 believers. We've got to plan for leadership who be able to equip them for multiplication. So prayerfully and proactively preparing and building capacity, I think, is a great principle that the Lord has taught us over this, you know, this process. And then, of course, sustainability has always... Sorry.
What do you mean sustainability?
No, I mean, when you plant a church, when you start this process from day one, from the time you start dreaming, part of your dream has also got to be that this dream has to become sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to plant a church and say, okay, I've planted a church, now I don't care what happens further. You know, starting from day one, it doesn't happen after you plant a church. It happens from the day you start dreaming. You know, how is leadership going to be developed? How are we going to disciple our new believers? How are we going to bring in Christian education? How are we going to bring in theological education so that this church will grow on strong foundations? So that's what I call the sustainability, so that the church will not be dependent on itself. How does every single disciple, every single believer take ownership of what God is doing? And those are some of the things that we have learned over this period of time.
Yeah, I mean, for those listening, I mean, what you just got there from Sam, that is a great kind of church planner checklist there. I mean, that is a great kind of movement-making checklist. Now, okay, so I mean, with the number of churches you planted, I mean, close to 90,000, I mean, we can hardly imagine a church of 90,000 people in the West. You're a global citizen. You're very familiar with the church in the West, in the United States, where most of our listeners are probably from the United States. What are a couple of challenges, a couple of transferable principles you go like, you know, I think this is the thing that the church in the West really needs to focus on. And maybe it is some things that are more spiritual in orientation. Maybe it is some things that are more strategy and tactics. I don't know. What comes to mind when you go like, boy, if I could really just tweak the church in the States, change it a little bit, here's what I'd really have them do, I think, to be able to be, experience more of the harvest that you're talking about.
I don't know. I can only talk from my experience and talk about the lessons that we have learned. One lesson, great lesson that I had to learn right from the very beginning is to let go, is to release and not to control. The moment you start controlling a movement like this and try to give it, put it within a framework, then you restrict that growth. There's a lot more to say about that, but you know, we don't have time to go into those details. But just release it. God is working. God is doing His work, and the Holy Spirit is you know, doing His work, and we just need to learn to release and let go of the control that we would like to have. The second lesson that we have learned is to think outside the box. You know, there are seasons and times where God moves in different ways. There was a time when we used the Jesus film and the mass media very extensively for evangelism and church planting. We could go into a village, show the Jesus film in the early 90s, and 2 days later we can have a church planted with about 40 to 50 people who have made commitments. But that is not the way, you know, God is working now with the political changes and all of those things. Changes are taking place. So you cannot really put those methodologies into a box and say, this is the way God moved, and so this is the way it's going to happen now. This is the way we did it before. This is the way we need to do it now. So we need to constantly be aware of that and think outside the box, outside of our traditional patterns and practices. And, you know, the third one is very important, and I think that's a great lesson that we have learned and has been very helpful. Break free from the restrictive mindset of uniformity, especially in our culture. You know, as you move from the south to the north, it's just hundreds of different cultures and subcultures. And God is moving in each of those cultures in different ways. And although, you know, you see the West, you see your own culture as one single group of people, it isn't really. And God is moving in different ways and among different groups of people. So to say that, you know, a church has to be the same in every situation, like a, as you would say in the West, a cookie cutter type of thing, we need to break free from that restrictive mindset of uniformity. Unity is what we have, but uniformity is definitely not necessary. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work as He pleases among His people. And the fourth one I would say is always be prepared for God's surprises. It is just amazing. Today I came from a conference from teaching 200 church planters or more. There were more people there. But anyway, every single testimony I heard was different from one another and different from the past. It was so surprising to see how God is moving and how God is working. And what we have experienced is far, far beyond what we had planned, what we had strategized, what we had imagined. It's just God's surprises. And we just need to be prepared for that.
I'll tell you what, Sam. You're giving us some really great stuff here. I wish we had about 2 hours because I have about 3 or 4 follow-up questions already that I would love. But I know I need to go ahead and cut this off because we want to keep these podcasts around 20-25 minutes. But I want to follow up sometime with you and do another one of these. But let me ask you this to wrap up our time together on this podcast. You spoke to a couple hundred plus church planters. You're listening to a lot of church leaders are listening in now. A lot of church planters are listening into this podcast. What's one challenge? One challenge you'd leave them with before, as we wrap up?
the challenge I'd like to leave with and the challenge that I face every single day, get the right perspective on my call to ministry and live in constant awareness of it. My life verse is John 15:16. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Call to ministry, unlike other vocations, is not about what we can accomplish. It's all about what God desires to accomplish through faithful and willing human vessels. And, you know, it sounds simple, but there's a world of a difference between these two perspectives. Mm-hmm. The first one is self-centered. The second one is God-centered. The first one is striving for success, what I can accomplish, what I can do, what would people think of me, and what would people say. But the second one is surrendering to remain faithful. It's a simple principle, but an amazingly strong principle that really works well for the kingdom from my experience. Get the right perspective on ministry. God has chosen you. God has called you to do his work through you. Be a faithful and willing vessel.
Thanks, Sam. I hope you have enjoyed, like I have, hearing Sam's story, how he put into practice this idea of multiplication thinking from very early on. And he is a truly a great example of what we're talking about, is not someone who's striving to be a hero, but really is a hero maker as he invests himself in the lives of what's now tens and hundreds of thousands of other people. If you'd like to join us, hear more about hero making, you can join us at the Exponential Conference. You can simply go to exponential.org/events, our main conference. It will be in late February, early March in Orlando, and then there's a number of regionals you can also join us at. And if you'd like to pre-order the book, Hero Maker, you can go to amazon.com or any bookseller. And just want to say thank you so much for listening.